out of nowhere. Sometimes it's unexpected. Sometimes you're seeking him, but he grabs your attention and just switches your focus somewhere else. I've had that happen to me a couple times in the past couple of months, specifically about this morning and about our direction for 2020 as a church. And so this morning I want to share some of those things with you. Now, both of these things are important, and we'll pull them together. One of them happened while I was praying alone. One of them happened while I was praying with a group. Now, sometimes the way God speaks to me is he gives me references. And so as I'm praying about, you know, this Sunday and anniversary Sunday and about the direction for the church, I really want to know what God has in store for us this year. I mean, sometimes he reveals a little bit, sometimes he reveals a lot. But he often gives me references, and it's not so much that he gives me a verse and I know the verse. Literally, sometimes I just get references, book, chapter, verse, and I don't know what it is until I look it up. Sometimes it is God, sometimes it's not. I'm learning to be discerning myself and with others to tell the difference. But the first one came while I was praying alone. And here's the reference that I got. Isaiah 43:18. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. It's a great and encouraging passage. So what's the context and what's the meaning for us? Well, he says, forget all that. So we've got to know what all that is. And God is speaking through the prophet of Isaiah. And before this, Isaiah is recounting all the great things that God had done for his people. Israel, the nation of Israel, God's people, they had a number of festivals that would look back at the great things that God has done. A lot of their society and how they worship God was based on the hope they had today, based on what God had done in the past. And so looking back was really important to them. And some of the big major things that Isaiah brought out in this passage was God's rescue from captivity in Egypt, out of slavery under the leadership of Moses. And then a reminder of being planted in the promised land and all the difficulties that that brought to become an established nation and have a place that was supposed to be where people from all across the earth could come and find God, see what it was like to follow him. And then because they disobeyed God in that place and that time, they were taken away into captivity in Babylon and Assyria. And so there's the reminder that God heard their prayers there and brought them back. And then he says, forget all that. I'm about to do something even better. And so for the Israelites reading that, that would blow their mind. It's beyond what they could comprehend because they would look back at that. And at this point in time when Isaiah is writing that, that's what they're looking for God to do. Restore the kingdom, bring greatness again, go back and do again what he'd done. And God said, forget all that. I'm going to do something even better. I love what God says through Isaiah. He says, don't you see it? Like, it's already happening. Can't you see what's already happening? And my sense as I read this was this is for us. If you think everything that's happened before is great, wait till you see what I've gotten in store next. The best is yet to come. I'm already laying the foundation for that. Don't you see it? And then he talks about the reality that renewal and refreshing, which is the point of all this, isn't just for us. He says, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be, what's the purpose of all this? Be refreshed, be renewed. God was going to renew these people. Now, we know looking back that what God was prophesying through Isaiah was speaking about Jesus, a new way to God through God's Son, that there was a new covenant between God and his people, a new and living hope, a new and living way. But we can take that promise as well. Now, when I was first a youth pastor, I took a missions trip for a week over March break to Florida. I know it was really hard Florida's really hard. But there was an organization, they still have that camp there called Teen Mission International. And what they would do is they'd bring Canadians down over March break to the warmth of Florida and put them to work to repair and upgrade their what they call their boot camp. They've got 250 acres on Merritt Island on the coast of Florida. It's a very swampy, kind of rustic camp. And the purpose of it is to train short-term and long-term missionaries to go into underdeveloped nations where there's no food or running water. So they send these missionaries out for days or weeks at a time into the jungly, swampy bush to learn how to live there so that when they go on the missions field, they're better equipped. It's a great idea. And so that's what we did. And so for a week, I would be dropped off in the morning, brought back for lunch, dropped off in the afternoon with one other leader and our team, and our job was to clear a path in the wilderness. And so someone thought that it was wise to give me, as a 22-year-old, a machete, and I cleared a path 10 feet wide, 10 feet high, with a machete, and the students would drag the brush off into the swampy jungle. Now, at any given time, from about 25 to 50 feet away, there were alligators, because we're going through the wilderness. So if we left them alone, they'd leave us alone. And it was a little bit outside anything I'd ever done. But they gave us a rule. There was one rule, other than, like, don't cut yourself with a machete. You had a partner, and you had to watch your partner, and you had to make sure that your partner was always sweating. Two reasons. In Florida, it's humid, right? So if they're not sweating, they're not working hard. Reason one. Reason two, if they're not sweating, they're starting to get dehydrated. And all we had was a canteen for the 3 or 4 hours we were working, one canteen. And so we had to make sure that we weren't getting dehydrated. For God to say, I'm going to make a pathway in the wilderness, I'm going to provide streams and water where you have none in a wasteland, that's a pretty big deal. And it's interesting because God is saying it's not just going to impact you. He gives the illustrations of wild animals in the land around you. When God brings renewal and when God brings refreshing, it's not just for us. It's for the people and the land around us. That's the way God works. That's his intent. And so he says, I'm going to do something new. The best is yet to come. And my purpose is that you'll be refreshed. You'll be renewed. And as a part of that, I'm going to renew and refresh the land around you. One interesting piece to this whole prophecy is the illustration about water. And as the Israelites would have looked back, there's a lot about water in their history. One of the main things is being rescued from Egypt. And they came up against what would be a barrier, the Red Sea. The Egypt's hot on their tail, unsure of what God would do next. And God turned that barrier into a blessing. And again, God is saying, I'm doing it again. I'm just going to do it better. God wants us refreshed and renewed. He wants us refreshed and renewed. That brings me to the second time God grabbed my attention. And it happened in December when our staff and elders team, who are amazing and I love them and I'm so glad to serve with them, we met for an evening to pray, to talk about the church, to talk about where we're headed, to share some of our joys, some of our discouragements, to support one another, to seek God of what's next. It was a really important, special time of trusting one another and trusting God. And at the end, we stood in a circle and we held hands. And God captured my attention again because multiple people continued to say the same word as we prayed. I don't know if anyone else caught it, but it was very evident to me, and it's this one word, forward. Forward. I believe that God wants to move us forward because the best is yet to come. He wants us to be refreshed and he wants us to be renewed. Now, the reality is that as we look back on any given year, and Julia said it well, a church family, there's good stuff, there's bad stuff. There's things we look back on in the past 36 years and even the past year that we are so thankful for, and we know God did great things. And we look back and there's things that we just don't know why things happen the way they happen. There's discouragement and disappointment. And as a pastor, I go through those ups and downs too. My heart is for us and our people. And there are times where I just sought God and said, is this it for me here? Like, am I done here? Is that it? Am I to move somewhere else? And each time I'd come to that through some tears and a lot of pain, because I love you very much, and I very much love being here and serving. I love God more, so I'll go wherever he calls me. But man, if he would see fit to leave me here the rest of my life, I'd be content. But if I'm ever comfortable and content, then I need to move on. But my heart is so for here, and it was such a hard wrestling through. And each time I'd wrestle through, it was that same sense of forward. He's not done yet. I'm not done with what you're doing here. I'm not done with Country Hills yet. The best is yet to come. And he brought a piece of scripture along with that. And it's from Luke 11. And so I tell you, keep on asking, you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And this is going to be our theme verse for 2020. The reality is that last week we looked at prayer and fasting are most important. What's the most important thing for us to do? Prayer and fasting. But prayer and fasting are not still. They're not sitting still activities. They have momentum. They have forward motion. They're to move us forward towards obedience. And God is saying, I want you to come to me to ask for the things you don't know where you're going to get them, to ask for the things you need to receive, the things you want to receive. That word want messes with me. Ask for what you want in my name and I'll give it to you. We know that God doesn't give everything. He doesn't answer yes every time, but he always answers. Ask. He invites us to ask. And then he says, seek. You have things you need in your life that you don't know where to find. Answers. Direction. You know, what's next? You need to see. Come and seek of me, and there are doors that seem closed in your life, and you need to keep coming, keep knocking, keep asking, seeking, knocking, and you'll receive. You'll find. The door will be open to you. Why? Because God gives good gifts. We move forward by pressing in and pressing on. And so God gives these good gifts, and he invites us not just to pray, but to press in and spend time with him. These are the next words of Jesus. You fathers, if your children ask for fish, do you give them a snake? Or if they ask you for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is better than the best human father. I read some stats that say that everyone alive has some sort of a father wound. Something in their history, some sort of father wound. And that impacts and affects our relationship with God. But with God, he's perfect and he gives good gifts. And Jesus is saying, not only is God inviting us to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, he's promising to answer. And he's promising to answer with good gifts. It may not be the way that we want. It may not be the timing. It may not be the thing. But he's saying, look, you need to ask. You don't have because you're not asking. You need to seek. You're not finding because you're not seeking. You need to knock. The doors are closed because you're not knocking again and again and again. You need to continue to come. And so God is inviting us to press in. How do we move forward? We move forward to renewal and refreshing by pressing in and pressing on. We move forward to renewal and refreshing by pressing in and pressing on. It's important that we press in to God, that we spend time with God. It's so important because it's in God's presence that we learn dependence on him. Isabel prayed that this morning. It's actually an act of pride. It's an act of selfishness and determination on our own part to find our own answers, to receive what we want and kick down whatever doors we want, to not pray regularly, to not spend regular time with God. We are saying through our actions that, God, I don't need you at all. That's a little bit of a strong statement and a little bit offensive, I think. But it's true. Because God is good and he's asking us to, you know, ask, seek, knock, regular, press into me. Do you know that when we spend time with God, let's just say, for example, in the morning. If you spend time with God in the morning, You go with God the rest of your day. If you don't, if you forget to focus your heart and your mind on God, you're not going to be focused on him. It's not that he doesn't go with you, but if you're not focused on him, asking, seeking, knocking, looking to him all day, there's no way you can walk in his power. There's no way you can do what he's calling you to. And sometimes we're not receiving. We're not finding. We're not seeing doors open because we're not inviting God with us. And so we need to go to God regularly. It's in those times of pressing in that we learn dependence. And we get transformed to be more like Jesus. It's important we do that. There's a man by the name of Andrew Murray, and he's a missionary and an author. He lived in the 1800s. My first book on prayer in Bible college, I think I found it in the bargain barn over at Mitchell's Bookstore, if you remember that. And it's With Christ in the School of Prayer. He's written multiple books. Most of them are free. They're out of copyright now. You can get them online. Wonderful. And he said this, when I work, but when I pray, God works. When I work, when I do it myself, I work. I can do as much as I can do, and that's all I can do. But when I pray, God works. Isn't that what we want for 2020? Isn't that our heart? I'm calling us to pray together for some things. I want us to ask and seek and knock. Here's our prayer points for 2020. You can skip. There we go. This is what I want us to pray for, and when we gather next week for prayer gathering, we'll be praying over this and doing a few other things. I'll tell that in a minute. First of all, for prayer, to be a church of prayer, to be a church who first presses in before we press on. Not a church with prayer, but a church of prayer. Secondly, for renewal, that we'd be spiritually renewed. We'd be growing in our spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity and spiritual renewal are not destinations. They're directions that you head on. God wants us to be refreshed and renewed. We do that as we pray and press in. And I want us to press on and live renewed. For unity in our purpose, in our passion, in our practice. That we're not just as individual people going in all sorts of different directions, but that we're unified, being one in heart and spirit, as God says throughout the New Testament, going in one direction, seeing what God is doing through us as a whole, unified on the same page. Reach, that God would help us effectively reach our friends, neighbors, community, family. The point of renewal with God is not just that we are becoming spiritually mature, not just that we have a good experience. It's meant to change the land. And a church that's not renewed can't possibly be sent out and bring back into family people who need Jesus only to come in and find a mess. That doesn't speak very much of Jesus. So God wants us renewed because it changes the land. It changes the atmosphere. And finally, disciples. That we would be disciples who make disciples. We wouldn't just be growing individually, but we get in the mess of one another's lives. And those who are beginning to follow Jesus, they have someone to walk with them. It's not just classes. It's not just this is what you should do. Here's a Bible. Here's a Book of John. Have fun. Hopefully you do well. See you every Sunday. We're in the mess of one another's lives. Iron sharpens iron, discipling one another so that we can see God do what God intends to do, and he waits for us to walk with him to do. That's what I want us to pray for. So if we move forward by pressing in and pressing on, how do we move from pressing in to pressing on? Well, the point of prayer and fasting and pressing in and asking, seeking, knocking is that we get moving. We get obeying. But we can't obey without clinging to some hope. I said Israel looked back so that they could look forward. God hasn't changed. So there's two promises this morning I invite us to hold on to from these two passages. The first is that God is about to do something new. This promise that if he's given us this word, this scripture, we cling to that. God, you're going to do something new. The best is yet to come. It's not that what has come before isn't valuable. It's that we look forward based on the hope that he gives, secondly, good gifts. We know he gives good gifts. Last week, all the people who shared words of thanksgiving, and if you weren't able to be here, you can watch it online, or you can look at our social media posts from this past week, and you can recount all the things that God has done this past year from some of our people, or at least some of them. And as good as those things are, I have to believe the best is yet to come. I have to believe that God gives good gifts, and if he invites us to ask, if he invites us to press in, that moving forward is about pressing on by obeying and pressing on by holding on to those promises. I believe that 2020 is a year of moving forward. 2020 is a year of moving forward in renewal and refreshing. I think God wants to move us in renewal and refreshing. Some of your lives, you need some refreshing. You need some renewal. We all need that. Living spiritually renewed doesn't mean we're above others, doesn't mean that we've got it all together, doesn't mean we're giants of prayer and no one can touch us and we never falter. And it means we walk closely with God, we press in, and we continue to press on in wastelands and wilderness. Because what we want to do when we stop, we see a difficulty, we want to stop at the edge of the water, at the edge of the barrier. God calls us forward. He says, keep on coming. Keep on coming, because I'm going to turn that barrier into a blessing. And so I wholeheartedly believe that he wants to move us forward. We move forward by pressing in and pressing on. So what if you don't know how to press in? That's what encountering God is all about. That's what we start next week, 4 weeks of teaching. To help us know how to press in, how to hear God, how to spend quiet time, how to abide in Christ, and to press on. How do we live in victory over sin? How do we walk that out, support one another? How do we listen to, follow, be empowered by the Holy Spirit? It's interesting what Jesus said in his ask, seek, knock teaching, because he said the greatest gift God wants to give you is what? The Holy Spirit, his presence. The greatest thing you can ask for, seek for, knock to be opened is the gift is his presence. And the moment someone believes in Jesus, his spirit comes in. Doesn't mean you're filled with the spirit. What does being filled with the spirit mean? As we talk about encountering God and pressing on, being filled with the spirit isn't some big hokey weird thing. It simply means this. You're living dependent on God. And you can only do that in the power of the spirit. I'm filled as I press in and learn to depend on God and walk through my day knowing that I have God's presence with me. I can depend on him and he will do what I can't. That's being filled with the Spirit. It's practical. It's real. And so encountering God is about pressing in and pressing on. So here's what I want you to do today. And I'm going to invite the worship team up. And they're going to lead us in a couple songs as we close. What I want you to do as we close, I want you to plan in your heart for the next 4 weeks. I want you to plan in your heart, first of all, to attend services. Julia just said, man, it is a blessing. We have a blessing to come together for at least the next 4 weeks as we go through encountering God. Plan to come to that. Make a plan in your heart. Talk to your family. Free things up. Get here. Make a plan to attend prayer gathering. There's childcare. We're going to look at some practical things coming out of our service. You're going to spend some time alone with God. Can teach you how to do that. You're going to spend time with two or three other people sharing prayer requests and supporting one another and praying together as a larger group over those prayer points. But you'll also have an opportunity to process through, plan for quiet time and prayer and fasting so that you move ahead knowing where you're headed with knowledge. So plan to attend that. Make a plan that you know, are going to go home today and talk to the people in your household and say, at 6 o'clock next week, we're going to come because it's going to help us. Make a plan to attend your small group. If you don't have a small group, you can look on our website or talk to Mark, and we'll do our best to get you into one. And attend the seminar. We encourage people to either attend the small group or the seminar. There's going to be some similar components, but what the seminar will do is provide you with extra teaching, so some additional teaching, but some extra practicum as well, some extra practical pieces of learning to press in and press on. We're also going to be taking time as a church to pray and fast together in 2 weeks, January 27th to February 1st. For 3 days of that week, we're going to encourage people, whoever can, to do a three-day food fast together and pray over some things you set aside in your heart for your home and your life and over those 5 prayer points for our church. If you've never fasted before, you need some ways to process that. There's 2 resources at the back that you can, one is for a quiet time for you. One is just some general advice on how to fast. How do we do this together? Why would we do this? We're heading into 2020 with a lot of momentum. You see, there's a lot of announcements, a lot going on, but it's all with a purpose, and it's all together. Because we believe that God is moving us forward towards renewal and refreshing as we learn to depend on Him and are transformed to be more like Jesus. Because we move forward when we press in and when we press on.
Would you stand with us?
Amen.